I think I hippity hoppityed off to a different land where I don't have the script for this segment. Okay. I just went into the wastebasket and I found it. Please, Phil, do not take any offense to that at all. No, I was tidying up during the break, and I got a little carried away, I think. Well, we always love when we welcome bookstores from our family of independents who dispense terrific advice on books to pick up and enjoy. This morning, we welcome Phil Lewis from Bennington Bookshop in Bennington, Vermont. He joins us this morning. He's got a great list. Hello, how are you? How's everything in Bennington?
It's a beautiful sunny day in Bennington. A bit chilly, but really sunny. Blue skies, lovely. And it was great to see you in the shop the other week, Joe. Thanks for dropping in.
Well, it's a great pleasure. It was very nice to see you. It was very nice to go in. I picked up the new Don DeLillo, which I loved. It was really great. And it was good to see you and of course, be back in Bennington. So how are things going at the store? Okay, everything going well? You're ready for the big season?
We've been quite busy. So there's been a big push here to try and encourage people to spread out their holiday shopping, not all come in at the same time. And it seems to be having an effect. We've just had a constant stream of people, but not massive crowds. So it's been very good.
Terrific. Well, that's good news. All right, let's begin with your list. Where would you like to go first?
Okay, well, the first one is Right After the Weather by Carol Anshaw. Right After the Weather is an absorbing read that explores the effects of a traumatic incident on the relationships between the people involved and their friends and lovers. Anshaw's characters are well-developed and interesting, each with their own way of approaching life, or sometimes just dealing with it. There's Kate, in her 40s, divorced from Graham and separated from Dana, though she still has feelings for her. But Dana is in a long-term relationship with someone else. And now Graham has moved back in with Kate after being kicked out by wife number 3. The only positive thing about this move is that Graham has brought his dog, Sailor, whom Kate adores. Then there's Neil, whom Kate has known most of her life, and her son, Joe. Kate has not had children and sometimes feels like Joe fills that space, just a little. And all this while, she wavers in her feelings for a new partner, Maureen. It's a heady mix. The incident, a brutal attack on Neil in her kitchen, is handled carefully. A snippet revealed here, another there, as Kate wakes from a bad dream. Kate interrupted the attack, releasing a fire extinguisher into the face of one of the attackers and beating the other over the head with the empty canister. Anshaw manages the darkness deftly, the silences, the attempts to talk it over, the avoidance of the issue at all cost, the deep emptiness, the time before versus the time after, the slow drifting apart. It's beautifully done. And Anshaw's description of Sailor's antics on the dog beach and in her home are a delight. I really enjoyed this book.
The name of the new novel is Right After the Weather by Carol Anshaw. All right, next up.
Next up is Kindred, Neanderthal Life, Love, Death, and Art by Rebecca Ragg Sykes. I've long been fascinated by the lives of Neanderthals ever since I first discovered them in a long-forgotten boyhood history lesson. Then they were portrayed as brutes who lived in caves before the time of modern humans. How things change with time. With the application of new technologies to ancient sites, our picture of Neanderthal life has changed dramatically. We now recognize they had a complex society, working together for the benefit of the group, teaming up to hunt and capture massive prey. And then the shock realization, with the advent of DNA sequencing just a few years ago, that we all carry Neanderthal DNA in our genetic makeup. More than just kindred, then. Neanderthals are part of us. But who were they? And how did they live? And where? Rag Sykes, an archaeologist herself, sifts through the evidence gathered over the years. Kindred paints a picture of Neanderthal life and times. Each chapter presents a different aspect of their society. We learn about their tools, their homes, their meals. There's a feast of interesting snippets woven into the story. To give just one example, Neanderthal brains were larger than ours, and this meant that just to stay alive, they had to eat much more than what our doctors recommend as a healthy intake for modern humans. Each chapter begins with a word painting, an imagined view of Neanderthal life. Then follows the evidence, laid out in some detail but still accessible and readable. The last section of each chapter is a brief recap of what that evidence tells us about Neanderthal life. Neanderthals lived across a huge span of time, in various environments, and through vast climatic shifts. One particularly evocative image comes early in the book. Let me just read a bit. Close your eyes, shake off your shoes. Dulled solar redness glows behind eyelids. Grass prickles toes. Open your eyes, and below a sky both bright with sun and somehow star-speckled black, your mother stands before you. This is a place out of time, where all humans find each other. Another woman steps forward, your maternal grandmother. Behind, threading over an endless plain, is a line of more women, bonded by hand and gaze. They're all here, the others. They always have been. I just love that piece.
Beautiful. Name of the book is Kindred, Neanderthal Life, Love, Death, and Art by Rebecca Rog Sykes. All right, next up.
Next up is Memorial by Brian Washington. Mike and Benson live together in Houston, Texas. They're lovers. And in love, or are they? Their relationship is at a turning point. Things can firm up, their relationship deepen and become more meaningful, or it can wither slowly away as they drift apart. To complicate matters, Mike's Japanese mother, Mitsuko, is coming to stay. And just as she arrives, Mike learns that his father is dying in Osaka. He rushes off to Japan to be with his father, leaving Benson and Mitsuko to come to terms with one another. The book splits, with chapters covering Mitsuko and Benson as they slowly get to know each other, and others where Mike gradually comes to terms with his father's decline. Despite Mitsuko's rudimentary English and Benson's total lack of Japanese and the huge cultural differences, the two develop a deep respect for each other. Meanwhile, Mike takes over his father's bar and gets to know the regular customers, establishing a routine that soothes the ache he feels as a result of the impending loss of his father and his distance from Benson. This is a beautiful book. It is at once funny and sad and very real. Washington's prose is sublime. He sketches scenes with a gentle touch, just a few words here, a spare sentence there, a gentle nudge, and suddenly you've been transported. It's skillfully done.
Brian Washington is the author. The new book is Memorial. Okay, next up.
Next up is Snow by John Banville. And this is a police procedural set in the 1950s.
Yep.
Wexford, Ireland. A Catholic priest has been murdered. Detective St. John Strafford has been sent down from Dublin to investigate. But wait, this is 1950s Ireland. No one murders a priest. Perhaps he just fell down the stairs in the dark. That's certainly the story the church and the higher-ups in the Dublin police force want to spread. We can't have the image of the church tarnished in any way, after all. But what was the priest doing up and about in the middle of the night? And how did he get from the bottom of the stairs to the library, where he was found? Strafford, the name Strafford with an R, he has to remind people repeatedly, is a Protestant from the Big Smoke. He is an object of suspicion in this tightly knit Catholic community, and he, in turn, is suspicious of everybody around him. First on his list are the members of the Osborne family, secure in their old manor. This is where the priest was staying after a whiskey too many the night before, and where the murder occurred. There's Colonel Osborne, pompous and a bit stiff, nose pushed out of joint by the inconvenience of a murder in his home. Then there's the delicate but alluring wife, visited daily by the local doctor. There's the son, sent off to a boarding school at a young age, but older now and home again. and the mysterious daughter who flits in the shadows here and there and hangs out with a young man living in a hut in the woods. The story unfolds slowly but sure-footedly, a pace which reflects the times. This is a perfect, this is a cozy book, perfect for a cold day, huddled in front of the fire. Snow is the first in a new series of crime novels. I look forward to reading more.
Yeah. I like this book. I have to say it's very different. I'm a huge fan of John Banville. He's one of my favorite Irish authors, and this was good. It wasn't quite, you know, he's written such like monumental amazing books. So this is a little bit different, but it's still very interesting.
It is a bit different. I did enjoy it. It was, as I say, it was a cozy read. I felt very comfortable in it. It just absorbed by it, and yeah,
very excellent. Incredible. It's Snow by John Banville. Okay, next. We have two books in 4 minutes.
I'm sorry?
I said we have 2 books in 4 minutes, so go ahead.
Okay, all right. Why We Swim by Bonnie Tsui. And this is a review from Linda. She says, this is a compelling and beautifully written book about swimming. Why humans, who are not natural-born swimmers, are drawn to water. Tsui explores stories from around the world of swimmers who have pushed the boundaries of what is possible. From Olympic champions, modern-day Japanese samurai swimmers, long-distance cold water swimmers, and even an Icelandic fisherman who survives a wintry 6-hour swim after a shipwreck. Tsui swims in the chilly waters of the San Francisco Bay with the Dolphin Club and, on a dare, swims from Alcatraz to San Francisco. The book explores the physical and mental health benefits of swimming and reveals why swimming has become one of the most popular activities in the world. This is a book for anyone who's been drawn to a pool or open water.
The name of the book is Why We Swim. And finally, we end with a fellow Vermonter, Chris Bojalian.
Yep, Hour of the Witch. And this is a sneak preview. It comes out in April next year. The book is set in Boston. It's 1662. 24-year-old Mary Deerfield has been married to Thomas for 5 years. It's not a happy marriage. Thomas is bitter that they have been unable to have children. He blames Mary. He has a daughter from a previous marriage, after all, so it must be Mary's fault. He takes out his frustration on his much younger wife. She has to explain away the bruises to the nosy neighbors. She's just clumsy, she says, and her clumsiness seems to be getting worse. One day she receives a gift from her parents, a set of 3-tined forks, all the fashion in England, but viewed with suspicion here in the New World, where they are seen as a sign of the devil. In a drunken rage, Thomas stabs Mary with one of the forks. Mary flees her husband, moves back with her parents, and sues for divorce. As the divorce hearing proceeds, the evidence highlights Mary's dabblings with witchcraft. She's been seen hanging out with the witch Constant Winston. She's known to work with herbs herself. A boy she's been treating dies, and Thomas and Mary's servants saw Mary burying one of the 3-tined spoons in the entryway to the house, a sure sign of a hex. This was a gripping read, bringing to life the mores of the times and the constant dread of evil that threatens the lives of everyday people going about their daily business. I really enjoyed it.
Well, the name of the new book is Hour of the Witch by Chris Bojalian, and as you mentioned, will be coming out in the new year. For more information on the Bennington Bookshop, you can visit their website, BenningtonBookshop.com. For goodness sakes, just visit them in Bennington. Phil will welcome you. Very great to see everyone. Phil Lewis, I thank you very much for being with us. I hope you have a lovely Thanksgiving, and I really appreciate your time this morning.
Thanks, Joe. Take care.
Be Bye-bye. Well. Thank you very much. Again, you can find all of the book pick lists on our website, wamc.org/roundtable, wamc.org/roundtable. You're listening to the program on WAMC.